Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 337, Open Doors in Our Lives. Guest ministers Jason and Tony Butts delivered this message on Sunday, September 24th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, everybody. I want to open with prayer before we jump in, okay?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we come today before you, and we ask that you would saturate this place with the Holy Spirit. You'd speak to every one of our hearts so that we'd know what we're supposed to take from this message. And together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we agree that we bind and break witchcraft curses, hexes, vexes, jinxes, incantations, spells, and seances. Any foul thing from the kingdom of darkness has no power or any place here or any position. Under your vital fluid, the blood, we plead your blood over us, and that we'd hear exactly what we're supposed to hear. And we'd be transformed into your likeness to have the mind of Christ to go out and advance the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are Jason and Tony Butts from Central Wisconsin. We thank you for inviting us to be here. As Pastor Sarah said, we've gotten connected to My Father's House through Pastors Karen and Pastor Harley and Pastors Sarah and Santos, and we've become friends with a handful of you as well, and I believe more and more friends to come. So we're excited about that, and I just have to say we felt very welcomed by this church and by this body, and so, you know, that doesn't happen everywhere. So we thank you for helping us feel welcomed and a part of the family. I'm not sure if we had a photo of our family to share with, if we had sent that through. But when that pops up there, we'll tell you about it. So we serve as U.S. missionaries to the American family. And so our focus is on marriage and family, and we'll talk more about that as we go through. But yeah, there's a photo of our family right there with our boys. So they're really not blondes. It's just the way the photo went. So
they've worked outside all year, so, you know.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll point on that one, all right? So the big guy over here is the youngest, okay? So his name is Bjorn, and so he's an awesome man of God, and he's usually dark-haired. And then the other guy's usually, he's the redhead, and so that's Bo. He's 19, Bjorn's 17. And
uniquely different. Right? If you have children, you see that. But they actually are in business together as entrepreneurs. They've been in business for 2.5 years. That's a God story, and this increased this mama's faith, I'm telling you. Because I wasn't ready to let them go, but God said it was time. But they're synergistically working together, so it's beautiful.
Yes, they're our pride and joy. So into the ministry, some of the things we do, just giving you some background before we jump into the message today. We do counseling. We do virtual counseling. In-person counseling obviously can tend to be the best. And we really have a no-holds-barred kind of approach to it. If you know, counseling ends up being 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, and working with somebody to really set them up for success, then that's what it takes, and that's what we're going to do. We don't really do the hour kind of slot kind of stuff. That really doesn't just fit what we do. We focus on deliverance and inner healing. We really believe that Jesus' goal, even when he delivered people, was to heal them. That's the goal. Deliverance is a part of the process, and so obviously that has to happen, but inner healing and healing the soul, the mind, will, and emotion is really the ultimate goal. We do teach online. You can check us out on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify at Forge a Legacy. Check out and subscribe. We'd love to have you watch our videos. They come out every Saturday. We preach where doors are open. So again, thank you, My Father's House and leaders, for opening this up for us. We're also focused on training up people in our area, specifically at this point in time, raising them up as leaders in the body of Christ so they can advance the kingdom. A couple of things that we do is we have a worship and prayer night once a month, and it's really an encounter night where we're really strengthening people to grow in the Lord and get on fire. And then we have an apostolic training hub that we have launched, which is, again, an extension of that, where it's once a month and it's a vision to help people be equipped in the Lord to be able to go out and really make a change in their circle of influence, and with the hopes that they would begin house churches and really expand. We're talking back to the way church was, right? which we get that understanding from my father's house as well. And then one of our first materials we have is our book, which you can see it back there if you're interested in purchasing it. It's called Back When Porn Was Fun, Freedom from the Chains. Okay, and so yeah, I had a former addiction to that disgusting thing, and it nearly wrecked our family. And the book really it's broken into two parts. The first part of the book is the story of my downfall back when porn was fun. And then the second part of the book is Freedom from the Chains. It's really the victory chapters. And it really gets you into the Word of God to help you understand by the blood and by making every thought captive to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, how important that is to overcome any kind of temptation. Now, interestingly enough, most of our buyers and readers are female. Two reasons. One, they want to know what on earth is going on in a guy's mind with this kind of temptation. And two, it helps them with some of the traumas and feelings they've had, regardless of the addiction. So the book is, we're finding out, isn't necessarily just addressing pornography addiction. It's addressing a whole smattering of traumas and dramas that people can have in their lives.
Yeah, woundedness of any sort, right? It really is meeting that. And then that last chapter, when God told Jason to add the last chapter, because it's really on marriage and how things ought work. And what we're seeing is stories of couples that, very educated, very capable people, and their marriages were floundering, you know, 20 years married, and what's going on. And Jason said, you know, I'm discerning in the spirit, there's something going on, and this chapter would help them. And Jason said, you give them that rough draft chapter, you know, that was a few years ago. And they are like newlyweds now. It is beautiful. They were sending the kids off to grandma's. And, you know, I mean, it was, God just restores marriages when, you know, he doesn't waste a thing. Our brokenness, our healing, the journey that we are on, we tried to read everything we could. We tried to talk with people. We're all about having mentors. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough authenticity, quite honestly. We just lay it all out there because that's what God's called us to do. So if it blesses you, please pick up a copy.
And I think that really explains our heart, that not just at the end of the book does it describe why would you battle to be free, why would you want to overcome any kind of addiction or stronghold in your life. In that book, it's because you want to have an amazing marriage. You want to be free. You don't want to be stuck. And so when I say Song of Solomon is a lot of what that chapter's about, then you can kind of understand that it's about intimacy and how important that is. All right, so again, we do want to thank you guys as my father's house that you guys have supported us over the past year. And so we appreciate that. The financial support has helped change families across America. So couples are together because of you guys.
Yes.
Families are together because of you guys.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yes.
Children are being raised in families that once didn't know the Word of God. Now they're being taught how to study the Word of God, how powerful prayer is, mm-hmm. and to live a Spirit-filled life. And so we thank you for your partnership with that as well. We're going to segue into this message today, that it's obvious that the leadership here has done a fantastic job of helping you guys understand the importance of focusing on the chosen people, all right, and making sure that Jerusalem, Israel, is a center focus as well. And here we are. We just passed by Rosh Hashanah. And tonight, yes, Yom Kippur starts. And so this is the year 5784. It's the year of the open door, all right? Mm-hmm. And so we just went through this period of time, 10 days-ish, where it's really a time of consecration. It's a time of reflecting. And if you've been like we've been doing in our house, we've taken this utterly seriously for the first time ever. I really believe the Lord is really taking us back to the Jewish roots and making it something of very much an importance in our life. And so today we're going to talk about open doors of good and evil. And with that reflection time right now, we're going to dive into what's holy and what's profane. And as we grow in the Lord, we become less tolerant for what's profane. We really do. So let's dive in. Let's talk about it. We're going to do two things today. We're going to talk about open doors of wickedness and open doors of righteousness.
I really see this is a season. If you had a tube of toothpaste, and I actually brought some with, but our van is packed to the brim, and I don't remember where it is in the van. I mean, I had toothpaste for my teeth. Don't think that I came without that. But I had a tube specifically I wanted to squeeze today for you. And that's because I wanted to show you this visual the Lord showed me a while back. He said, I'm squeezing the family. I'm squeezing, right, in your own nuclear family. And then it goes out into the church, which then goes out into the nation and into the nations. Squeezing that tube of toothpaste, getting the junk out. It's time. Do you feel that pressure? That squeeze? It's that season. Don't fight it. It's that season. Proverbs 16:2 in the NLT says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the motives. This is a season of looking at the motives. How many of us feel that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's not anymore that, oh, this is a nice tablecloth. Nope, we're looking at the table underneath. And what's in it? What's it made out of? Why? What holds it? Together, intricately. That's where we're at. James 4, 8 through 10 in the New King James Version says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. It's time to look deeper. There's a veneer. My awesome husband a couple years ago created a new coffee table look for me. The main piece is the same. He refinished parts of it, okay? And he put this,
well, shabby chic kind of stuff, and I put 7 layers of czar on it.
That's the word czar.
So it's that clear finish that's really hard after you build it up.
That czar looks like it covers a lot and you can't get underneath. The Lord is getting underneath. Let us get to that place. We're going to head into Deuteronomy if you wanted to use your Bibles today. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Deuteronomy 28, a little bit, and then we're going to jump into Deuteronomy 30. I'm going to give you a little background. Moses was instructing the Israelites before they got to the Promised Land. He said there'll be blessings and curses based on our obedience to God. So we're just going to look at the first two verses of Deuteronomy 28 to start. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if, do you hear the condition? If you obey the Lord your God. It's not about just doing good. It's about why am I doing what I'm doing? This is the season we're in. Deuteronomy 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children, oh, there we go, family. It's not just for us. When you and your children return to the Lord, your God, and obey him with all your heart, there we go with motives, and with all your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, it's all submitted, according to everything I commanded you this day. Mind, will, and emotion. Every bit of us, all for you, Jesus, I surrender. We sing it. Yeah. We sing it. Mind, will, and emotion. Am I submitted? God's doing a thing. Let him do that. Let him squeeze. It's worth it. He's good. You can trust him. He's a good, good father. Verse 8. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I give you today. Then the Lord your God will make you more prosperous in all the works of your hands. Ooh, what a blessing. And in the fruit of your womb.
Yes.
Amen. Receive it. And the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord again will delight in you. Wow. And make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. Here we go with family line again. Does family matter to God?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He hasn't forgotten that. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your, here we go again, with all your heart and with all your soul, with every bit of you. Examine it. If you haven't done it recently, today is an amazing day to reflect. Lay out your family before him. Lay out yourself before him. Lay out your mind, will, and emotions. Examine every bit. Let that tube of toothpaste squeeze. It is worth it for eternity.
Lay out your future family.
Yes.
Pray for that kin that doesn't exist yet.
Yes. Or those that, they look like the prodigal. Faith. Faith, friends, let it rise up.
Amen.
Verse 11 of chapter 30. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Ooh, how many of us need to break off despair today? I'm feeling it. I'm feeling there is a lot of despair that keeps us from believing that, you know, yeah, I know I'm right with God. What about for my family? What about for the one that doesn't even talk to me? Or what about for the one that isn't in my house anymore? I'm reading that again. Let faith arise, guys. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult, for you are beyond your reach. It's not. Break off that despair and hold on to his promises. If you have to say this, if you have to put it in your phone, if you have to put it on a sheet of paper, if you have to put it in your journal, in your Bible, whatever you have to do, let faith arise. Read the word. It doesn't come back empty, Isaiah 55 says, so do it. If it is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? It's not just up there. It's for us here today. Nor is it beyond the sea. It's not too far out. Who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it so we may obey it? Nope, it's not too far away. No, the word is very near you. I just feel if you have a Bible now or if you have a phone that you look at your Bible on, put it near you as a prophetic reminder. It's near you. Yeah. Yeah. So you may obey it. See, I set before you today. We have choices. This is all about intentionality. That's about the family. Intentionality, it starts in your home. Wake up if you're asleep. Wake up if you're asleep in your homes. And you go, oh, it'll be, I have tomorrow. I'm telling you, overnight the Lord launched our boys from me getting to homeschool them every day and having this precious time with them, with the Lord every day, to he launched them into business at ages 14 and 16, and this mama wasn't ready. Amen, yes, but this mama in the flesh wasn't ready. I was like, no, Lord, I thought we were gonna, you know, all these things, yet I want to teach them your ways. Again, I want to teach them your ways. That looks good. The veneer looks good, friends. But he's saying, Tony, are you gonna let them go? They're mine. They're mine. I wrestled with him three months. I'm sorry. It wasn't just over. It wasn't just done and over. Don't think it's easy to get to the promised land. Say, so I set before you life. and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the lands you're entering to possess. He already knows what's your promised land. Are you going to walk there? It takes some effort. We don't just arrive. It takes effort. But let me say, effort in the spirit. Jason often says, 1 minute in the spirit is worth 10 years of striving.
Amen.
It's true. Verse 17, but if your hearts turn away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, ooh, open doors to sin if we're not obedient to his word. There are real idols, and they aren't just golden calves nowadays. I declare to you this day that you'll certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. All these good things, they're all these blessings. How awesome! However, there are idols that will keep us from our promised land. God's got big plans for you, but your choices can get in the way of his best. Open doors to the enemy's ways, destroy every time. No doubt the path of life to the door, Jesus, is obedience to his ways. Let's go back to verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that you I have set before you. I have given you a choice. Life and death, blessings and curses. Now, he implores us, choose life so that you and your children, here we go with the blessings on our family line again, so that you and your children, your choices matter. That you and your children may live. And that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Family line matters to God. What do we have to do to go deeper so we can walk in the blessings in our family lines? Keep that on your radar today. What do we need to do to go deeper? Because it's a journey. None of us have arrived. Till the day we meet Jesus, there is more. So let's go there. We can remain in the shallows. Many do. We could remain in the shallows. It's a choice again. It's a choice. But then if we remain in the shallows, I'll say we're going to miss the grand adventure. And it's worth it. And we can trust him. We can trust him with everything in us. So how do we do this? Well, Jesus asked hard questions, and he went to hard places, didn't he? We must not back up from that which is hard. Getting to the heart of the matter is important. So remember Jesus at the woman at the well, with the woman at the well in John 4? He went to some hard places with her, didn't he? Now, many would just avoid. Ooh, he knew. He knew in the spirit. He knew what was going on with her, that she actually had five husbands. And he called her out on it. And you go, ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I should really go there with someone. That's really mean. Oh, no. If God calls you to it, it's the most loving thing you could ever do. Because remember that woman? She ran and told her city she met Jesus. And then, do you know what they say? The church historians say that there's record of that whole city met Jesus. And then, I mean, so she was an evangelist, and she just took Jesus. That's what we're called to do. But again, submitted to his spirit. Because in our flesh, we can say, oh, every time I must. Oh, no. I'm learning to keep my mouth shut a lot, too. Not the easiest thing for a girl that likes to talk. And then there's John chapter 5. It's just the next chapter. And you might remember the man at the pool of Bethesda. He was a cripple for 38 years. That's a long time. He had every excuse under the sun why there was his disability, right? He couldn't move. But Jesus just said, do you want to be well? Ooh, that could be really challenging. Mm-hmm. It rocked his world. It changed him. In our families and in our spheres of influence and in our own lives, do we want to be well? Do we want others to be well? Then that ought to motivate us to do what he's called us to do. How do you walk in greater blessing in your family line? Ask the Lord that today. Take some time. Because he's wanting to draw us deeper, right? He's looking beyond the veneer on the table. How do you walk in greater blessing in your family line? What must we do? Walk the way he commands. Number one, be pure and clean. There's anything that doesn't line up with him, ditch it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. What must we forsake? Oh, guys, like we read, idols, traditions, the way we've always done things. Oh, well, this is just how my family does it. It's not up to me. It's all about him. We must ask a lot of questions with Jesus. Talk to him. There are idols today. What that really means is anything that's more important to us than God. Anything more important than God. And you can go, oh, that's not me. Ask the Lord. Just ask him. Are there any idols in my life? Now, he's not going to stand up there condemning you. He's not. He just wants us to repent and be clean before him. He wants to show us the way out. Will we ask him? Because again, as Jason said earlier, the more that we walk with him, the more that the profane is ugly to us. We might not have known it as profane even a year ago. And the Lord is saying, nope, not for you anymore. Yeah. Right? So examine yourselves before him. Today, those idols don't look like golden calves, like in the days of the Israelites. Today, it could be this. I don't want to be hurt. I'm going to just put up some walls. People may not even know. It's still an idol. It's making sure I can climb to the top. I can get whatever I want, how I want it. I want to be well-known, whatever it might look like, right? Well-liked, have lots of views. That's a big deal. Have everything I ever wanted, whatever it takes. I sound the smartest in the room. I look the best. Oh, the list goes on. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The wellspring. What is here is going to come out. You might think, oh, nobody will know. I'm going to do the thing that looks good. If nobody else sees, God still knows. There's no fooling. There's no fooling. Let's go. Let's get this right. That was Proverbs 4:23, by the way. Be faithful to do what you're called to do, no matter what makes sense. Because when we think we need to make sense of everything, oh, there is a God of intellect right now. It rules and reigns in a lot of places. Know what I mean? I have to have a reason for everything. I have to understand. I have to have it all laid out. Whoa, I'm not God. I don't get to decide that. Let's get rid of those idols. Let that tube of toothpaste be squeezed.
Squeeze it out.
Get to the heart of the matter. Get to the motives. For any one of us wanting to walk in the fullness of Christ, remember, we can stay in the shallows, but boy, there's so much more on the other side, friends. For any of us wanting to walk in the fullness of Christ, in his revelation, his insight, his wisdom, we have to pull back the layers. Why do I do what I do? Why does this happen? What causes this or that? God judges the thoughts, motives, and intentions of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12.
Many of you have been on the missions field overseas, and you have experienced or are aware of houses or buildings that have doors that are not trustworthy. They're not secure. Some don't even have doors, right? And yet, in America, we have pretty little doors. Locks on them, deadbolts. Things can look pretty good. But what we've experienced is that that's not necessarily the case behind most closed doors in houses. Many times we can act like children behind those closed doors. We've been in a few hundred homes over the past several years, and we've seen this. There's this attempt to cope with the dysfunction, to keep it hidden, to try to keep it hidden from God, to try to keep it hidden from other people, and that might be what people think most important is to keep it hidden from other people. But eventually, sins are found out. Things do spill out over and outside the house. And we think of one family where, you know, everything looked great on social media. Christian family looked like they were doing everything that one should do. They're going on vacation. They're having fun. Everybody smiles, all that. We always saw the photos and thought, wow, life's a party. That's amazing. But we knew. We just knew that something wasn't right, and eventually the train came off the tracks, and it did. And the family is in disarray to this day. And it's sad because things weren't intentionally done in the home. You can make that veneer look good all you want, but the structure that's underneath is what counts. That's what matters. We've dealt with a lot of people over the past few years. We also work with pastors and pastors' families, and to come to understanding that there are families that, hey, nobody is excluded from the dangers of sin and terrible things and filth, and to find pastors covering up molestation within their own household so that things can look good still on the outside, while the victim ends up being the one inside the house that's still, they need to be healed. But they end up being the one that continues to be the victim because things aren't handled right. Don't ever let that happen. Things can get ugly behind closed doors. We have to get the family healthy. We have to. We have to be intentional about it. If Satan can destroy the family, he can burn down the church. We know that ultimately that's not possible, but we see that Satan comes after families. If you can disrupt a family, you can really derail the church, whatever congregation it is or setting. And so with that, we have to keep in mind that we have to identify the dangers of the doors of wickedness. So let's jump into that. Open doors of wickedness that lead to harm, dysfunction, perversion, eventually destruction. In John 10:10, Jesus is quoted, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." There's no in-between game there. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Death or life, blessings or curses. Satan and his demons aren't playing games. No games. Do not sit back and think that you can toy with them and not get burned. All right, we can take a look at some of what we would call the big problems in life. Let's start with some of those: that porn, drugs, violence, various addictions, stealing, lying, infidelity, impurity, swearing, the cult, the occult, false religions. We could really go on. We could say, boy, those are some of the really the big things that we would just see out there. And yep, that those can really cause some damage in a household. Our beliefs lead to our thoughts, which lead to our actions. And in that, we see layers of sin that are typically not identified and dealt with. They're really more undercover, usually. And they're strongholds that have been developed within an individual, within a household, within a kin. And they can be, this is not an exhaustive list, they can be ways of thinking, traditional mindsets that are unholy, beliefs that are unholy. How about this one, a victim mentality? That's something I struggled with myself for many years. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Here's one we got to be really careful about. Cursing, not as in swearing, but as in casting a curse. Careful with our words. They're powerful. God spoke all of creation into being with his mouth, with his words, and he's given us a mouth that just doesn't eat food, but it speaks. And if we want to speak blessing, boy, we can speak amazing things to happen in transformation, but we can also give a curse the ability to take flight. And we do not want to partner with that kind of thing. I've been guilty of that many, many times, more than I'd like to count in my life. But God redeems, God forgives, but then let's start to make a change. Let's start to change and think differently about that. You know, people can call themselves Christians, but many will fight to defend their favorite movies, their favorite music, their favorite entertainers, more than they'll stand for the precepts of God. Have you ever ran across that? That's a scary part of society we're in right now, where I could name a certain movie or so, and all of a sudden I could have some people offended because they watch that and they like it. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later on, but take that before the Lord. What kind of junk are you putting in? The Bible defines witchcraft as rebellion in 1 Samuel 15:23 and other parts of Scripture. It is identified as witchcraft and rebellion and divination. And the honest truth is that it's infiltrating homes rapidly. It's overwhelmed homes in many cases. It's infiltrating the church. We have to be very careful about that. We're seeing cultic, occultic, and false religious beliefs and practices becoming commonplace as if that's just normal. And every Christian should do that. Every Christian should think that way. Every Christian should partner with this kind of organization. There's a lot that shouldn't be. It's a lot. We could go through a list. Let's not do that right now, though. So open doors of wickedness create two deadly traps in our lives. The first is a lack of traction, and the second are generational curses. The first one, lack of traction. Think of this, spinning in circles. You ever feel like you can't get somewhere in life where something just can't, why do I feel like I repetitively am doing the same thing, or we're repetitively having the same issue? Something's repeating itself again and again. It's cyclical. And not the kind of cyclical pattern that God set up with 6 days and then a day of Sabbath rest. And then said, that's a holy and awesome, blessed way of cyclical living. But when things are repeating in unholy ways, frustrating ways, that you're literally going mad. Have you ever been to the point where you've got like, I'm frayed physically, I'm frayed mentally. These things are occurring because of spinning in circles. And so what we believe is that when there's no traction, ultimately there's a spiritual issue that has to be dealt with. We just have to get down to the bottom of that and understand that. An acclimation of spiritual bonds get applied. That could be demonic influence. They can be erected. That can be strongholds within somebody. Truly, when I think of a stronghold, I think of a dark fortress that has been erected within somebody that has been developed over time based on habits, sinful choices, that it creates this. Now this dark fortress is there, and we wonder why it hasn't been removed or what it's doing there. But it has to be dismantled brick by brick. There are conscious things that we have to do. The Spirit can do amazing things, but we also have skin in the game. We seriously have skin in the game. And to see those strongholds come down happen before the throne of God, they happen in the name of Jesus. And they happen by taking intentional steps. Secondly, we do have generational curses. We're not going to jump into that. Great materials that exist in the world regarding that. But when we're talking about generational curses, we're talking about iniquity, bloodline sin. And understanding that generational curses or sin is reality. We talk about it when it comes to alcoholism. We immediately adopt that as truth. But then we don't splash it across the board and say, well, it really is in many other areas of life as well. We must deal with it. You must deal with it. You must deal with it for yourself and for your kin in order to experience freedom. I don't want my family to stay stuck in any way that I may have messed my family up along the way. And if you know our story, watch any of our videos, read our book, you'll go, wow, he really blew it. But God has he has an insane way of redeeming and restoring. And so I hold on to him with that. Jesus continually can help you unearth matters of the heart that need to be dealt with. As we look at 2 Corinthians 13:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I know this house would say amen to that. Therefore, press in. Press in regarding what needs to change in you. Press in what needs to change in your family. Whatever is causing you to spin in circles, get real about it. Like, don't lose time on that. What we've done, if we're not careful, is we've created an unhealthy dance. We then dance dysfunctionally as an individual, as a marriage, as a family, and we end up then dancing incorrectly, and we have to learn a new dance. Most people are bound by a root lie. And I won't dive into that too much, but people can live their entire lives based off of a root lie that they've based their identity on then, and that's not what God has for them. In fact, we can put it this way. It's like picking up dead bodies and throwing them over your shoulder and carrying them around, and Jesus is saying, I didn't tell you to do that. I don't want you to do that. That's not your identity. Drop those dead bodies. Drop that luggage. Because we know that in Revelation 12, Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. And he'll not relent in doing what he does best. What does he do best? Accuse you. Fabricate lies about you. And he accuses you day and night before the throne of God. Like, he doesn't relent with that kind of thing. However, when we take a look at Psalm 51:7-13, if you want to jump there, you sure can. This is where King David, after sinning with Bathsheba, he has this that he pens. And I believe that this is really the matter for all of us. We have to take this to heart. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. How about this, verse 13? Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Jesus took my rebellious ways and turned a mess into a message of hope for others, and he can do that for you too. So what are we doing in Forge a Legacy? What are we doing with our lives? What God has called us to do is to equip generations to close evil doors and to open doors of righteousness and to walk with Jesus, the door of life. And we have just a few snippets of stories we want to share with you.
So the first is a young couple. They came to us when she was expecting, they were expecting their first child, and she was pregnant with him. And their background is they had very different church backgrounds. Hers almost coming from like a cultish background, and she had to sort some things out there. And then he came from a very spirit-filled background, but not a whole lot of word. And so there was some communication issues, some priority issues along the way. And, oh, our Lord did some amazing things. And they got unity. and they started learning some biblical principles of living that lead to blessing and peace in their home instead of constant strife. And as the Lord has it often when we work with couples, is we just get to work with them and then God builds them up to a point and then they launch across the country. And that is what happened. And they now have two beautiful children and God has them, moving in other ways. And so it's pretty awesome.
Another young couple raised with different church backgrounds. And that led to struggling with communication and priorities within their marriage.
Trauma.
Yes.
A father lost at a young age. Another one was an orphan from another country.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lots of different backgrounds that would come together. They were accustomed to layers of lies, and then the trauma and the drama ensued, and they didn't realize they were actually being swallowed up in the midst of a spiritual battle that was for their family. Then add one little kid, and you know how that can get. It can get busy, and frustrating things can start to occur. They ended up getting more understanding and healing, and again, we are just conduits of the Holy Spirit. We love being in the throes of the action. It isn't about, there's no Jason and Tony show. This is just the fantastic part of being there with people and seeing them get set free so they can live the lives they really want to live, not what they don't want to live. And so this young couple learned to appreciate each other and to grow in their family and to really see everything from family to business to priorities to we don't need to fight over what day do we clean and what level of cleanliness do we have in our house. We have to communicate about those things. And so they're seeing growth as well.
Sure. And then another couple, they came to us. Apparently, they had a restraining order against each other just two days prior to us meeting. They went to court mutually and got that lifted so they could meet with us, because as in many couples that meet with us, we have them fill out a form if we've not met with them in advance to kind of pray through, is this, you know, a good fit on both angles? And a lot of couples will write, you know, they've gone to this pastor, that pastor, this therapist, this counselor, da 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 da, and on and on and on, struggled for 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 40 years. Okay. And so they're hopeless and they're like, we're going to try one more thing. This couple was like, you know, we have a divorce in the works. So they had a restraining order, again, just lifted, but they hadn't taken their divorce off the books. They still had their lawyer stuff going on and they were, you know, working on all that. They lifted that. We met with them and we just knew, like in the spirit, we just knew it was going to be a long night. And so to prepare right in advance, it was. But they walked out. They walked in venomous toward each other. They walked out hugging, kissing, and holding hands. They got deliverance. They got inner healing. And we work with them regularly still. There's a journey. But here's the thing, guys. So they have four little ones, okay? And they were pitting each other again, you know, against each other. That was the nature of the home. That was the atmosphere they're in. There, a couple months ago, we were meeting with them, and there was a text that came through from one of their kids, and we always like them to check, you know, their kids are home alone, and, you know, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, check your text with them. And there was, Mom, Dad, we had a problem, but we prayed about it, and the Lord showed us what to do. And so, right, the family line, you heal the family unit. And now those kids are going to go to school, right? And they're going to make a difference where they step, because they know prayer works. They were at our house for a worship night, and those kids weren't used to, well, they just weren't used to seeing miracles happen, I guess, you know? And so there was rain on the way, and we were doing outdoor campfire worship. And Jason just stopped, and he prayed that rain would go around us.
I said, in Jesus' name, you don't come here. And it went around, and that family was just floored that no rain came because it was coming right
at us. The kids were like, he prayed and God answered. You know,
we did have a friend show up an hour late on a motorcycle, drenched, and he said, yeah, it was a massive storm where I was coming from.
It went around.
Yep, it went around.
Yeah, that guy got drenched, but there was a miracle. So that was, we didn't specify how far around us when we prayed. But prayers work, right? Praise the Lord.
And the last family we'll tell you about, young married family, raised in pretty strict religious setting, some cultic stuff in some of that background. But then as they met each other, they got married, and then they started attending a church, they started to uncover some cultic stuff kind of going on at that church. And mix into that past hurts, molestation involved as well in the past. And then this young couple getting rock solid on Christ, realizing that, you know what, there's a whole lot of hurt here from the past that we don't want to exist in our family anymore. And so we've got to get healing. We need to be more connected than ever. And so through time meeting with them, where there was a lot of dwelling with them, mm-hmm. and they were just hungry, they were able to get set free from some past pains and hurts, understand how to talk to each other more. So really, as a, you know, mid-20s couple, they could really love and just have that romantic flair for each other and not start to create old patterns that aren't healthy. And throw into the mix two little kids as well. And they started to say, how do we raise our kids in the Lord so that that's not an issue? How do we intentionally do it? So let's talk about how to build up and how to fortify broken places to live intentionally in our families for the Lord, which will in turn impact the world. We're talking about open doors of righteousness.
Open doors of righteousness lead to blessings, abundance, joy, peace, empowerment, anointing, and mantling. Who doesn't want that? Open doors of righteousness by telling stories. Remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 3, 6, and 7? The stones of remembrance that the Lord told him to set up? Those are reminders, because we can all forget, right? We're busy making dinner, and we've got laundry to do, and someone threw up, and they're, you know, I mean, right? There's stuff, right? There's stuff that happens. And they're, well, set up those stones of remembrance. Remember when God this, remember when, our boys kind of have an inside joke, funny story that we always want to talk about remember whens, but deep down they really love it. You know, I know they do. But, right, because it sets on their hearts deep down what God did. He was faithful in this situation. He's going to be faithful in the next. When we do that, when we share those stories with our kids and our grandkids, our shoulders become our kids' floors. They're not starting over at ground level. What the Lord imparted to us, we get to impart to others. If you have an Apple device of any sort, you know what AirDrop is, right? You can literally put your phone by somebody else's phone that is an Apple, and then bing, it's just there. So the boys and I, Jason hasn't decided that that would be wise, but but the boys and I have that. And so they'll take pictures of places when we're doing events and things, and they'll take pictures, and then they just bink, and it's on my iPad or phone, you know, and it's there. And I love that. But what if we take that example to, you know, we can offer to our kids whatever we're intentionally training them through by just walking and talking, as right in Deuteronomy, we're supposed to, you know, as we sit down and as we walk along the road and as we do life, yeah. We just teach our kids. We talk to our husbands. We just do life, and it doesn't even have to be, and the Bible says in da-da-da-da-da. Nope. Just do it. It imparts. It just airdrops. We must fear the Lord in our families. Like Moses in Deuteronomy 30, we was told by God to share with the Israelites, obey him. It's of utmost importance. There are blessings for obedience and troubles that come from disobedience. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. Amen. Fear of the Lord. A reverential fear. Work out our salvations with fear and trembling. Let's do that in our homes. Let's not say, oh, I have how many years? Remember, I thought I had a lot more years with my boys. And I don't have that kind of time anymore. I have to pray, how do I speak into them in the little time I have without being overbearing, with honoring, with building them up, make the most of every opportunity in Ephesians 5 because the days are evil. We can grow in our family and intimacy with Jesus. Faithfulness to God's word draws us to him intimately. Here is the rebuke that Jesus had for the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. It's easy when you're first married. Oh, it's all so lovely. And then reality sets in. There are things that you could be easily irritated with. Oh, no. We're called, even in our families, to return to that love that we first had. Remember holding your baby for the first time? They couldn't possibly do anything wrong. You couldn't possibly be annoyed with them. You love them so much. They're so perfect. Look at those cheeks. And then they disobey you. They have free will. How do you love? Verse 5, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to what it's like to be a newlywed. We got to date. Your kids need you to date.
That's right.
Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I don't want darkness, do you? We must be in a two-way love relationship with our Lord. He shares his secrets with his friends. He shares his secrets with you. The American Standard Version of Psalm 25:14 says, "The friendship of Jehovah is with them that fear him." Remember, it's not with everyone. The friendship is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. If we recognize a distance between us and God, because it can happen at times, then repent. Turn back to your first love. And ask, "Where have I strayed, Lord?" He's not going to hammer you over the head. He wants to woo you in. Allow him. He's a good father. Recommit to honoring him. We can walk in Christ's authority in our families.
Yes.
Ephesians 6:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Where are we seated? Yeah, with him. Wow. We can actually do what Jesus did. We can shift atmospheres like he did. We can teach, heal, and deliver in our families, in our own family rooms, and then beyond. But it matters most right here. It's the hardest place, that tube of toothpaste. We must continue to grow in faithful, immediate obedience. How many of us taught our kids when they were little, if it's delayed obedience, it's not obedience, right? No, I'll do it later. Oh, no. Now. Immediate obedience to the Lord. Fear his commandments and walk intimately with him. Two-way connection. Remember, if it's broken, fix it. Repent. Turn back. He didn't change. It's us. He did not stray. It's us. And he shows us the deeper things so we can deal with them accordingly. But we don't want to cut that line. Or we're not going to hear. How many of us need that in our homes, in our families, our spiritual families, our region, our state, our nations? We all need more. We must cultivate a fear of the Lord, not tolerating evil.
We're going to bring this train into the station in just a few minutes, but not without some fireworks, okay? So we're at the end, and here comes the clarion call. Guard your gates for your family. Guard your eye gates. Guard your ear gates, your mouth gates. Stand at and watch at the towers. All right, so here's a recent example for us. We were watching a television show. We've cut out a lot of stuff. We don't even have television. I think we were watching a movie or something. And something came on. I don't recall what it was because I didn't watch it. We turned our heads so we didn't see it. And then, you know, the movie finished and all that, and I'm walking around the front of my house a little bit later on before going to bed, and God always has a sense of humor with me. And he just tapping me, and he says, "Hey, buddy, if you had to turn your head from what you were watching, you probably shouldn't be watching that stuff." Yeah, got it. Got it. Okay, so I'm going to take a stand. We're going to draw a line in the sand. What we already cut out was a whole bunch of other trash.
Wasn't even trash.
Right. But you know, I mean, we're going to cut out a little bit more. Yeah. We're going to cut out more. We're going to do it. So it's really about GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Right. We have to have slit eyes, pinpoint and target, relentlessly remove these things from our lives: lust, addiction, rebellious behavior, twisted beliefs, pride, arrogance, odd characteristics, and truly a mentality layered with devilish schemes. Every one of us could fall prey to any of these things at any time. We have to take it seriously. It's a battlefield of the mind. It's a cosmic war for your soul. Capture the soul, and you'll win the person's spirit, which is the ultimate goal, and the body will follow. That's what happens. Think of it this way. Each one of us has our own little kingdom. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards are in bloom." So hound the little foxes. Do not let them play around in your place, in your little kingdom. Hound them, kick them out, deal with them, or they'll have their heyday with you. Stand watch at the tower. Call out the enemy's movement. Don't turn a blind eye to it, and deal with it in Jesus' name. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. If filth is allowed in through your eye gates or any kind of gate, the temple will be ransacked. We don't want that. It's really about exposing and expelling evil in our lives. And let's get real about it. Be holy as I am holy, God says in Leviticus and 1 Peter and other scriptures. So how does this translate into the home? Because he's holy, he doesn't tolerate unholiness. We're not talking about perfection, but this process of sanctification, of holiness, of working out our faith is so essential. And I love what Jesus said in John 15:14. "You are my friends if you do what I command." It has an if. If you do what I command, you are my friends. You're going to be blessed. Remember, we can't tolerate evil in our homes. We can't. We have to take a stand. Now, we're not talking about people. People can do some pretty wicked things, but ultimately we know what's driving people, what's influencing people. And we get that from Ephesians 6:12 about the reality of this battle. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We truly have to see what's going on and then partner with the Lord to make a change.
By checking schedule information at
years ago, we were involved in an organization, in a process where we could see that there were problems.
Tax deductible
and
donation.
For 5 years,
we
kept going, "God, help us be part of the solution and not the problem." And we were told not to leave. God told us not to leave. He said, "Live in opposition, live in the opposite spirit to what you see going on." That's how you live. That's how you take down principalities, by the way, is living in opposition to it, because it's not a matter of casting out. That's a whole other story. So we had to figure out what the problem was. We had to address it, and then we had to get the Lord's perspective on it and how to deal with it. Again, Tony was talking about the varnish on tables. You could also say, let's take a look at an onion has many layers. And for me, with my former addiction, there were a lot of layers that went with that. wrong perceptions, twisted view of women, twisted view of life, priorities, money. The list goes on and on. Anger. I was a very abusive man as well with that. And those layers had to be pulled off to get to the core. Ultimately and honestly, do you say, I value what God values? This isn't an extensive list, but some of what God values are legacy, what I pass on, obedience, loyalty, integrity, purity, stewardship, righteousness. Boy, we could keep going on. How about this one? That I take a stand. That I am a man, I am a woman of God that has a backbone and occupies until he comes.
Amen.
We're talking about the tearing down and building up process, which is all about closing wicked doors and opening righteous ones. And we want to end with this. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Here we go. We, that's you, we have the ability to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Verse 5, right there, every thought captive to obey Christ, that's what helped topple the stronghold of addiction in my life. I made the thought captive to Christ. He dealt with it because I sure can't deal with the temptation. I can't deal with whatever I'm facing or seeing or thinking. I give it to him, and he makes that mountain of victory that seemed very hard to climb up, he flattened it really quickly. The more I repetitively did the holy thing and said, I can't deal with it, God, help me, even if it's just that blunt. Help me get rid of this thought. Help me not to dwell there. Help me not to stay there. And he did it. And he, you know what? And he transformed my life. And he can transform your life. Any kind of temptation at all, give it to Christ. Make it a slave to Christ. He'll judge it and deal with it, and he'll set you free.
Open doors of wickedness or righteousness. Both are going to cost you. We sing, I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. The shackles come off then. Are things not moving right in your marriage? Or God is just pointing out a tweak to you right now? That's good.
Even as an individual or family, whatever applies.
Your family line, your business, what about your schooling that you're in? There's patterns of thinking for some of us that are harmful. And the Lord's just beginning to illuminate that. You hadn't thought of it before today. It's okay. Right now, right here, he's meeting you. The Lord is showing some of you things that need to go next. You didn't know that yesterday. It's all right. There's no condemnation. Let's get rid of those things. If it's welling up in you, there's an unction, and you're going, ooh, this doesn't line up. That's Holy Spirit. Be clean. Ask him for strategy for those next steps. We're going to pray for those online that are watching, and then we'll do a time of ministry, okay? Father, in the name above every other name, Jesus, we thank you for these dear people who chose to spend some time diving into your word and your truths so they can walk in the truth. Thank you, Lord, for being the door, Jesus, the door. And we want to honor you with our whole lives. We want to close the wicked doors, and we want to walk in righteous doors. So, Lord, empower your people in this very moment to know what is next for them. Bless them. Shine your grace and your mercy and your favor. Let them know they're not alone. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we trust. Amen.